Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, November 16th, 2020, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Welcome to the show, and welcome to a new week that's ahead of us. And hopefully it is getting off to a grand start for you. And if not, you know, I got some positive words to say. You just, you know, sometimes we got to switch gears, and only you know which one. It could be neutral for a minute. Sometimes that happens, or maybe park for a while or roll yourself back to first gear because maybe you put the pedal to the metal a little too fast this morning. Oh, my, oh, my. And you're shouting, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, keep your head on straight and keep your eyes on the road because you already know it's going to be all right and you're going to be just fine. You know, you've got the key to your ignition. So the key to all of this is to keep driving till you get there, till you get it done, till you are past the bumps and detours of the day, till you win and win again. Just tell yourself, I'm just going to keep driving until I get it like I want it, till I get where I want to be. That sounds like a plan to me. Well, you know what? My guest today knows exactly how to get from one place in life to another successfully. She is Erica Lynn, a dynamic promoter of finding your best self and living up to your best potential. And she is in my Foxology spotlight today, and I'm so excited about it. She's going to share some inspiring thoughts that I know all of us can use. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to talk to you. I actually talked a little bit about getting over your past with my regular BFF, Radio BFF. We do a show called Master Your Mindset. So we didn't get into all of the details I'm sure you'll share today. We kind of talked from another angle. But I am very excited to have you on to share with my audience today. You know how I'd like to start, which I do very often with most of my guests, and you know you've got a lot of great things going on, a lot of very inspiring things happening. But everybody has a backstory, we know that. So why don't you begin by telling us about yours?
Okay. Well, my backstory is just that for me, my pain and my traumas started when I was a little girl. I remember coming home from school one day, and my father, he left. My father and my mother had separated for the last time. Many people have parents that argue all the time and don't get along, and my parents, they just would break up, and he would move out, and they would get back together. Well, this particular time, there was no getting back together. And I just remember how that devastated me, how it caused me to always look for love that I wanted from my father, that attention. You know, when your dad takes you on your first date and he shows you how a man is supposed to treat you, when he pulls the chair out and say, hey, this is what a guy is supposed to do, open the doors for you. Well, I didn't have that, and I longed for that. So I gravitated to different male figures in my life, you know, just hoping that somebody will give pieces to me that I was missing. And as a result of that, there was a neighbor that I gravitated to because I thought that he was going to, you know, be that interim father figure. And my mother would say, well, you know, go over his house and do his dishes. He'll, you know, give you a couple dollars for ice cream or whatever. And one particular day, my mom said, can you ask him to take you to the grocery store? I need some things for dinner. I said, sure. And so he did so.
And when we were coming out of the grocery store, I remember getting in the back seat, and he says, no, ride up front with me. And I was like, I don't want to. He said, well, come on, ride up front. So I got in the front seat, and I remember sitting as closest to the door as I could. And he goes, well, why are you sitting so far? So he gently reached over, and he grabbed me. He pulled me as close as he could to him. And, you know, back then, the cars did not have a center console, so it was just one long front seat. And I just remember squeezing my body as tight as I can, closing my legs and my arms, like putting up a fortress to protect myself. Well, needless to say, that didn't work because he began touching me inappropriately and doing things that you're not supposed to do to a 13-year-old girl. And so as a result of that, I began running a rat race through life. I started running from everything, running from my problems, running from talking to adults. I did not tell my mom what happened because my mother was like a fighter back then, and I didn't want her to go to jail for, you know, doing something to this man, so I kept that secret. But what happened is I began to outlash by drinking, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, partying, becoming very promiscuous, just running and not, you know, lashing out. And at age 17, I became a stripper. And so as a result of that, I end up hurting some family members from my actions. And once I came out of that world, I met my children's father when I was 17. And we had three children together. But the result of that marriage was a 10-year abusive marriage because he downed me, he belittled me, he just verbally abused me. It was just so bad that some days I didn't know if I was coming or going. And so when I finally left that marriage 10 years later, I said, I have to fight for my children. Even if I can't fight for myself, if my kids are going to have any type of lifestyle, I have to remove myself out of this situation. And I got out of that marriage. But then I had been on welfare, you know, low income housing, trying to figure out the best I can with food stamps, raising three kids. And I said, I got to get my life together. So I went back to college when I was 35 years old, and I said, okay, great. When I graduated from college, I said, surely I'm going to land that dream job. I'm going to make all the money that I want to make, that my life is not going to be full of these problems. But you know what happened after I graduated from college? I hit rock bottom. I totally hit rock bottom. I became suicidal. I just felt like throwing in the towel, giving it all up. But in hindsight, I realized that all the things that I went through as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and now to graduate in my 30s, how do you hit rock bottom at 35? Well, I had never healed from all those pains and traumas that I had gone through, and that was the result of me hitting rock bottom, not doing my healing work on myself at that time. So that is my backstory.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I know that hearing that, the audience hearing that, I believe that there are many, many, many people who have suffered through times in life for various reasons and had great degrees of pain to deal with. And I'm also glad that you said that you never let yourself heal, because that was going to be my question to you in regard to what you felt compelled you to go from one negative situation to another. And the reason I was going to ask that, Erica, is because I one of the primary focuses I have when doing shows like this is to help people do their own self-investigation and to look at how, what the hows are from that hard place, because now you are helping many, many people get past those challenges and those difficulties. So can you tell us what was the major segue, eye-opener, epiphany that helped you get to that place where you knew you could rise from it? And then tell us, how did you determine that you could turn all of that into a tool for helping other people?
Yes. Well, I just remember for 10 years asking God, what is my purpose? Why am I here on this earth? Like, I'm constantly going through abusive relationships. And, you know, you go from one man to the next man to the next man, right? And you're getting the same results, man after man. Why is that? Well, what I found is that once I hit rock bottom and I knew that there was purpose on my life, I just did not know what it was, God chose to send men into my life to be a part of my healing process. See, men have were the cause of me breaking myself down, but then he brought them into my life to redeem my faith in men. Mm-hmm. So my father came back into my life. My father came back into my life the last 3 years of his life, and he began loving on me, pouring into me, teaching me things as an adult that I've always wanted to learn. By this point, now he's teaching me about business and et cetera. And I remember I was going through a divorce with my second husband, and I was afraid to sign the divorce papers because I felt as if I was a failure. Well, my father, this was the beginning of him being sick. He had a heart attack, and I had been called to the hospital. And the first day we went, I called my ex-husband and said, hey, can you meet me at the hospital to see my dad? And so we were there laughing and joking. Then we left. He went his way. I went my way. And then a couple of days later, I went back. And I said, well, Dad, are you okay? Like, you know, if I tell you something, you're not going to die on me. And he goes, no, what's up? I said, I want a divorce. And he said, well, Erica, you guys were just here the other day doing good. I said, Daddy, that was a front. That was fake. I didn't want you to know that your little girl has failed at relationships again. And so he began asking me questions and pouring into me and teaching me stuff and empowering me and uplifting me. And so when I left that hospital, I signed those divorce papers, dropped them in the mail, and never looked back. And so from my father showing me that, then there was a male friend that came into my life, and he began to love me from a genuine place, just a friendship place, didn't want anything from me but just to help me heal, to walk with me, to be part of my support system. And then lastly, there was Pastor Leon McDonald from the Winter Circle Church. Pastor Leon began loving me from the perspective of God, from God's eyes, and just talking to me and counseling me and walking with me. And this was the first time in my life that I've had men in my life that didn't want anything from me other than the best for me. So that was, like, so empowering. And as I was going through that journey, then these steps that I were taking, I said, wow, this is helping, you know, the healing process and educating myself and then taking action. I was like, wow, this is really helping. Like, this was my own personal journey. I said, what if I can use these 7 steps that I walked through and help other women? How powerful would that be? And I talked to God about it. And the funniest thing, when I said, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to no longer hide my light. I'm going to stop running away from the person that you have called me to be long time ago. I'm going to actually walk into this person, and I'm going to share my gift with other people. And do you know, God began opening doors. He began opening doors that you wouldn't even imagine open for me. So I go to write the book, 7 Techniques of Healing. And I didn't have the money. God provided, because I learned that there's so many people, as you know, so many women out here that are broken, that has gone through so many things, and they need to learn how to identify what the root cause is in order to go through their healing process. And so that was part of my journey of going through the 7 Techniques of Healing and helping and creating the book in order to be a guide for other people.
Well, that leads right into what my next question was going to be for you, because so many people, as I said earlier, and as we both know, have various challenges, some that we couldn't possibly even attempt to know the insights or depths of. But you've written a book to help people pass that, because it can be such a detriment, a hindrance to further progress in life, happiness, a better future, when you really can have it regardless of what your past was. What is the type of approach that you take with a client when they come to you? Their problems are totally different than maybe what yours are, similar but different. How do you identify, how do you single out the approach that you're going to take, or is it just always similar with everybody?
Well, everybody is different, because when I do my strategy sessions, each strategy is designed specifically for you. So I can't design a strategy for you that's meant for someone else. It just will never work. However, my approach is really to get to know the person and ask a lot of deep questions that if you are really willing and ready to move from that place that you're in, then you're going to have to be honest. Because if you answer the questions falsely, you're not hurting me. You're just hindering your healing process. You're delaying the process of where you need to be. So I'm very honest with my clients. And I don't, how you say, BS them. I have to really let them know, like, if you were the cause of a certain action, I'm going to be honest with you. However, just because you caused that action and it resulted this, you can still move on from it, but acknowledge the part that you played. And so every client, like I said, is different. Just asking certain deep questions and then allowing them to, together, we began pulling back the layers so that we can identify what the root cause is. So once we identify what the root cause is, then we can develop your strategy and work together on your healing process and help move you forward.
You said something that I think we should talk about for a couple of minutes. You said that they need to be honest. And, of course, that's true, because I've said to many people, if you can't tell the truth, you're never going to get to the right answers that you need. So I know that has to be a challenge for a person that's really hurting, or a person that has, you know, the feelings of self-sabotage or shame or guilt. I know it's got to be very difficult, and maybe they don't even understand how to be honest and tell the truth. Maybe they don't understand themselves quite well enough. What kind of probing, and probing may not be the right word, but I think you understand what I mean. What kind of insight approach do you take to help them open up? And again, I'm asking because people who hear this, you know, it'll help them know that it is a process, and it is a picking away, a peeling away, in order to get to that part of you that is really, really wounded, that's hurt, that needs the healing. So, what type of questions can you share that with us?
Yes. So, for example, I have a client. Well, I had a client that she was my senior, and she had some things that I knew. You know, as a coach, you kind of know. But you can't assume, because you have to have the person to open up, you know, and share with you, so that now they willingly shared from their perspective. And I would ask probing questions like, you know, what is it that you need healing from? What is it that's causing you to be stuck, you know, for example, with this particular client? And she wouldn't really, you know, give me what I was looking for. So what I did for her was, I said, I'm going to share something with you. And I shared some things about myself in my past, the life centered around me being a stripper, and some of the things that I did. And when I finished sharing that information with her, she looked at me and she goes, "Whoa, you don't look like anything that you've been through." I said, "That's my point." So this goes to tell you that you can't judge a book by their cover. However, we all have experiences, and we've all went through something. So if I can come through what I went through, you definitely can. And what she said to me was, "Dang, coach, that really blessed me. I'm going to share with you." And she shared with me that information that I kind of knew, but didn't know for sure because I didn't, you know, didn't know it for a fact. And so I am willing to share things with my clients if it means that it would help them heal. You know, mm-hmm. if it would give them a place to be vulnerable so that they can open up and begin, you know, tearing down the walls of that brick wall. You know, that brick wall is pretty hard to penetrate if you,
yeah.
you know. So that's one of the things that I like to do. But then I also ask them questions like, what does it look like for you to be in your best form? What does your best form look like? And so they're going to identify and tell me, okay, my heel hole person looks like this. So then I want to ask them, what does it look like when you are not your best self? And so when they ask that question, they're answering that question, tell me what it looks like when they're in their, you know, sad state or vulnerable state or not feeling great. So now we're able to differentiate what it looks like when you're your best self and what it looks like when you're not your best self. So how to get you from the point of not being your best self to your best self and being able to stay that way. And if you are your best self and you begin to like fall off a little bit, let me give you some tools that you can use so that when you begin to falter, you can catch yourself and then, you know, get back up again, opposed to falling back down to the person that's not the best self, and which is normally the low self-esteem, depression, things like that. And so to catch yourself before you go into a depressive state. And so a lot of this is about not only identifying, but learning the proper tools that you need so that you can catch yourself and learn how to surround yourself with the right support system that will keep you moving forward.
I know that it's very easy to revert back to old ways and old ways of thinking. You talked about that well within what you just said. How do you help people who are dealing with, you know, deep shame and deep guilt because it's so embedded? You know, those experiences don't go away that you went through. How do you battle that with them, and how do you keep them from, you know, reminding themselves that this is what I did and this is what happened to me and this is, you know, why I'm like I am, and you know, just using that as their stuck place. What do you say to them?
Well, you show them how to take the weight off of it. See, our past mm-hmm. experiences and traumas that we've gone through, it's done and over with in reality. It's just stuck in your mind. So now you're stuck in this place of emotional bondage. So how do you take the weight off of that place of emotional bondage that you've been in for so long? And you do that by learning certain techniques of how to take the weight off of it. So one example would be, I'll give you an example of something that I did. Before I came out with the book, if you guys ever read the book tells you about some of the things I did, stripping. The kids didn't know that I was a stripper. They, you know, the abuse that went on between their father and I, they didn't know that. So my children lived, two of them lived in Taiwan, and one lived, I think he was living with their father at the time. And I picked up the phone, and I started with the oldest, and I called him, and I said, hey, I got some things I got to tell you. Your mama used to be a stripper. I used to do this. I did that. Yeah, and I just share some of my deepest secrets that, because you got to remember, we come from the old school to where we were taught kids should be seen and not heard. You don't tell them this. And when you go to your grave, you're going to your grave with your secrets, and now your kids are left to suffer from the secrets that you kept. So I share with the oldest, and my son, he said, oh, I got your back. My mom protects you. So then he called my daughter, and because she was in Taiwan with him, and then he told her. And then I sat down with my youngest son, and I shared with him. That was the start, okay? But that one act alone released me, released the weight, released the pressure, from every secret that I have been keeping. And I was like, wow, I felt so much better to just get it out. So when you do certain things to release the weight off of the things that you've experienced, man, you feel like a whole different person. So, of course, I've gone through, you know, some other processes, and my clients, they go through other processes. But now I'm able to talk to you about the abuse that I experienced. I mean, I can get down and dirty with some of the stories and laugh at them because I've gone through the process. I can share with you how I had a conversation with him and told him how what he did affected me. And you know what I mean? But these are things that this is part of your healing journey. That is all part of your healing journey. And everybody's journey is different. Some things are standard, but everybody's journey is different. But the most important thing is, in order to go through a healing journey, always tell everybody, you have to be willing to do what is required. Even if you don't understand it, even if it seems difficult, you got to be willing to face your fears. If you face your fears, you get rid of the boogeyman. You know, just imagine, like, you know how the kids don't want to look under the bed because they're afraid of the boogeyman. When you actually get down there and look under the bed, nothing is there. Wow, what were you afraid of the whole time? It was all in your mind. So let's change your thought process and the way you think about things, and let's shift you and allow you to take action and walk into your purpose.
Well, this has been so, so insightful, Erica. I have one more question I'd like to ask you before we wrap up. Let's look at another emotional place for people and have you talk about that. Let's talk about the person who comes to you with emotional despair and depression, and the only thing they can come up with to tell you is, I just want to be happy. And I just want to be happy. And they don't know, you know, they don't really know what happiness is yet. A lot of people haven't experienced real happiness. And that is a great, great cause of depression and despair. Again, there are ways, of course, and insights and eye-openers, but just give us a little bit about how do you approach that kind of client?
Well, I call that the woman who looks in the mirror and says, I'm not enough. I'm just not enough. She might have a great job, a good family. She's beautiful. But when she look in the mirror, she's just like, I'm not enough. So now we need to figure out, why do you feel that you're not enough? And part of the process of learning about why you feel you're not enough is really working on you, like learning how to love yourself. That client is when we're going to step out the box. So I have clients that I've done painting with the twist, and they thought that we were going to just do painting with the twist. And it really turned into a life lesson. So, and all of that was geared toward teaching them how to have fun and how to love themselves. Because sometimes you're not happy because you don't even, like you said, you don't even know how to be happy. You don't even know the things that you like. Somebody asks you, what do you like to do? I don't know. Whatever you want to do. I don't know. What do you like to eat? I don't know. Wherever you want us to go eat, you know. And that's that passive aggressiveness, you know. So now we're going to. That client, we're going to empower that client and show that client how to shift that I don't know or I'm not feeling. So we're going to do positive reinforcement. We're going to show you through ways of positive reinforcement how to be happy, how to train your mind, how to shift your thought process through positive affirmations, books, other things that I'm going to find that will work for that particular client. And I love for everybody who's listening to this podcast, always like for you to do the index cards and get you 10 index cards. And I want you to write 10 positive affirmations on your index card. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am wonderful. whatever you want your affirmations to be, it's best for you to write your own affirmations, because if I write them now, you're saying what I want for you. But I want you to write your own affirmations because it's more heartfelt when it comes from you. So now you write your affirmations, put them on the mirror, put them in the kitchen, put them on the side of the commode, wherever you go every day. And I want you to say them twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, put them on your car steering wheel. And you know how they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. Well, I want you to do this every day for 30 days. Recite your positive affirmations, but when you say them with conviction. Say them with love. Say them heartfelt and begin to feel it and own it. And before you know it, by the time you reach the 30 days, not only will you it be a part of your life, but your thought process about yourself will begin to change, and you will begin to feel happy, because I believe in the laws of reciprocity. What you put out in the environment is what you get back. So now you're putting good things out, and you're putting good things back into your body and into your mind, to your heart, and to your soul.
Well, I have no doubt that you have been very effective in helping people. Your message is strong, and it's sincere, and it's honest, and it's trusting. And I think that that's very important when people are reaching out with their most intimate fears and problems. So I certainly wish you the best of success going forward. Would you remind us about your book and how we can get it?
Absolutely. The book is called Seven Techniques of Healing by Erica Lynn. And you can go to my website on ericalynnspeaks.com. It's on the Work With Me page. There's a link there. It will take you to purchase the book. And they can find me on all social media platforms, Erica Lynn Speaks. And for your listeners, I am also giving them a free download ebook about 3 steps to walking to their greatest self. And so it's free for me. And you can just go to ericalynnspeaks.com and get your free download. And so I want to hear back from your listeners about at least how the book has empowered them and allowed them to take the necessary steps. And what's most important is whatever process that you go through, the words that I would leave you with is never quit and never give up.
Yes. Erica, please send me that link, and I'll make sure I post it everywhere as well. That's a wonderful opportunity for anybody who's listening, for sure. I want to thank you so much. It's been just wonderful talking with you, and I'm hoping we can do it again sometime down the road. So, again, I appreciate everything that you've shared. I love having people on who can truly offer information that's going to help somebody, especially in the days and times that we're in right now. Don't we need that jolt of inspiration and motivation and help right now? So thank you so much. And again, best of success to you going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on the show. And as you said, even though the pandemic, we're going through the pandemic, I want everybody to not just sit in the house and be depressed. Get up and exercise, do something to keep your mind moving so that you're not allowing the pandemic to get you down and fall deeper into your depressive state. Make sure that they reach out and ask somebody for help so that they don't fall deeper into past the state that they're already in, but just move forward. So thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you. And you make sure you stay safe.
Absolutely. You do the same.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I want to thank you all very much for tuning in today, and I just trust that you have gained a lot from that conversation with Erica. Again, her website is Erica Lynn Speaks, ericalynnspeaks.com, for more information on how to contact her as well. I hope all of you have an amazing day. I look forward to talking to you again in the not-so-distant future. In the meantime, you be good, you be blessed, you be awesome, and you stay safe.